WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A damp day, a moist day. I know some of you probably don't like that word, but it's a good word to describe the day because that's what it feels like when you walk outside. Even though it's 61 degrees, it is damp. It is moist. So we've got a lot that we can talk about today. We should be joined by Zeitarian Performing Arts Center President and CEO Rosemary Gill to talk about some of the things that are happening over there, although I did not get confirmation from the Zeitarian yesterday. I was just checking my email to see if they had confirmed. So we'll see. We have a monthly chat set up, and sometimes they just get a little busy over there. And with all the great events they have coming up and all the work they're doing over there, I'm sure they're caught up in a whole bunch of different things. And of course, we will talk with you at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. The other part of what's going on with Zeitarian is that, you know, we had the story last week. The Star Store is going to have new life. The Z will be back probably by the beginning of next year. And then they're saying it'll take about 18 months to get the Star Store going with what they have in mind. So if you look at, you know, a year and a half from now, so what are we talking, the beginning of 2027, you could have a completely different art scene in downtown New Bedford than what you have right now. Something more akin to what's been there in the past, but where it might be even bigger and better than ever before, because as great as Star Store was, that was very much focused on the students of the UMass Dartmouth College of Visual and Performing Arts. Whereas it sounds like this new project will be more open to all artists. But we'll see what comes down with that. Of course, we can talk about what's going on in Los Angeles. I was trying to read up some of the stories this morning to see if things had really changed overnight. We have more National Guard troops headed over there. We have Marines ready over there, and all of that, according to Governor Gavin Newsom, unnecessary. He, the mayor, the LA police chief, they're all saying they have it under control, and that the presence of the National Guard only made things worse. And I listen, say whatever you will about Gavin Newsom. I know many of you probably don't like the guy, but he's certainly standing up to President Trump in this matter because he is calling out everything that he sees as incorrect, everything he sees as hypocrisy, everything that he sees as an overstep by the president. And I thought it was very interesting that he shared photos of what's going on with the National Guard there. That they've deployed them, but without any real plan, they've got them sleeping on the floor. They don't have supplies for them. And they're sending more over. Are these National Guard troops just being used as pawns in Trump's show of strength? Now, I would think that they have plans for all of that. I think that, you know, as the National Guard, they have a plan in place if they are deployed of what to do for a place for the troops to sleep, for them to you know, food and water and all that stuff for them too, but it's starting to look more and more, and this was actually happening even before these protests broke out over the weekend. It was starting to look more and more like Gavin Newsom was going to be the person to stand up to Donald Trump. Because if you remember, before all this happened, Trump was threatening, you know, before it escalated, Trump was threatening to cut federal funding to California. And Newsom said, well, you know, California gives more to the federal government than any other state. How about we just hold back our $80 billion that we give to the federal government? So I think this escalation is going to continue between the two of them, even as the protests will eventually dissipate. So we can get your thoughts on that. 508-996-0500, plus things that are going on locally. We had a great conversation with City Council President Shane Burgo yesterday, getting into the procedure of how the City Council goes through the budget. And, you know, I've done that with each of the council presidents that I've had on my programs. You know, when I first started, it was Council President Abreu. Council Abreu was the council president then, and he talked us through that process. And then Councilor Morad was the council president. She talked us through that process. And now Council President Burgo. And, you know, they all have different ways that they want to go through the process. But I think it's important for you as the taxpayer to know that there is thought that is put into this. And not just on the part of the council as they're making cuts either. As you heard Council President Burgo mention, you know, the department heads come up with their budget. They talk with the administration, the Mitchell administration, and then the Mitchell administration works with them to craft that budget, because ultimately it's Mayor Mitchell whose name is on that budget, and he's not just going to plug in whatever the department heads ask for. So there's already some streamlining done by the mayor before they submit that final budget. And then the councilors will go through it on their own, and they will determine what cuts they want to make. And I thought it was interesting the new approach they're going to take, where instead of someone proposing a cut and then other councilors signing their name onto it, they're all going to propose their cuts, and then they're going to match up where multiple councilors have already agreed in that area. I think that gives you more ownership of the original idea of the cut, rather than just being like, yeah, I'm going to sign on because somebody else came up with that idea. For better or worse. And that's why I love these weekly conversations, because you get into the process of it and it becomes a little bit more transparent. Because let's face it, trying to figure it out by watching the meetings is not an easy thing. The counselors have so much work to do, and the department heads, in coming to speak with them, have so much work to do in such a little bit amount of time that they just kind of take it for granted that they know and understand the process, and they're just going to barrel through it as efficiently as they can. So they're not going to take time to stop and explain in a meeting why they do something the way they do it. Especially on cut night, when, you know, they're going to be there until very late. They just want to get the work done. So this way here, you get a chance to kind of understand the way it works and why it works that way. Now, to some of you, that's probably, you know, too much minutia and too boring. But as a public service, you know, providing that transparency, I think, is key. And if you're not paying full attention when he's on with us, and you need to go back and listen to it, it's all on podcast so that you can actually go through and break it down for yourself slowly. Because this is, you know, your money. I mean, you should know how it's being spent and why certain things, why certain potential services are being cut. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, 2 weeks ago, well, you know, the week before this past Monday, yesterday, I had talked about, you know, I'm sure some department heads put extra stuff in their budget requests knowing that there's going to be cuts. So it's like, well, do we, you know, I'm going to put it in a fire truck, but I know we don't need a fire truck. You know, it'd be nice to have a fire truck, but, you know, I'm going to put that in there knowing that they're going to cut that fire truck. But then maybe if they cut that fire truck that I don't really necessarily need this year, they'll leave alone my other stuff. And I'm sure there's some of that kind of shell game going on, as I characterized it. But also, in the conversation yesterday, you know, you heard Council President Burgo talk about the thoughtfulness that the department heads put into crafting these budgets and being aware of what the taxpayers go through, because they themselves, in many cases, are New Bedford taxpayers. So they're not going to try to overly burden their fellow citizens. And I honestly believe that, you know, they all try to make do the best they can with what they have. But eventually you get to the point where you've got to ask for things. You eventually get to the point where, you know, if there's more modern technology available, you've got to ask for things. The New Bedford Police Department wants to expand the body cam program. It's working. It worked very well for them just recently when someone, I mean, and this isn't what the body cameras are for, but it was helpful in the situation where someone was going on social media. I mean, I guess it is what it's for, but, you know, you don't want to have to respond to everybody's social media criticisms. But somebody went on social media and complained about the way that they were treated by a police officer in a certain altercation, and drag this person's reputation, and other people came on and drag this person's reputation, this officer's reputation. And then the police department released the body camera footage of the incident, and public sentiment went completely the other way. They said, well, this officer is actually very professional, and kudos to her for staying as professional as she did, because this guy was kind of acting like a jerk. Now, it was, you know, heat of the moment kind of stuff. I'm sure in that person's mind, at the end of that that situation, they felt like they had been wronged. Because, again, heat of the moment. Even that person might have gone back and viewed that footage and said, you know what, it wasn't... You know, I was worked up, and it didn't really play out the way that I thought that it did. But that camera, that body camera, helped save an officer's reputation. And save, for I'm sure a lot of people, trust in the police department. So naturally, the department would love to have more of those cameras. They want that accountability. You heard Council President Burgo mention that they'd love to put more cameras up around the city, as opposed to ShotSpotter. Now, I've been writing articles about ShotSpotter for years now, and it's the accuracy has always been in question. And as someone who has to reach out to the police department every time I get a text or an email from somebody who says, or an app chat message who says, hey, heard on the scanner there was a ShotSpotter activation last night. Okay, well, send an email. Heard there was a ShotSpotter activation. Can you tell me anything about it? Please get back here and say, no evidence of gunfire. Likely fireworks, car backfiring. They don't know for sure because they don't have cameras in all of these places. But as Council President Burgo mentioned, or as we were discussing yesterday, the cameras that they want to put in place have that sound detection ability. And I don't know how much ShotSpotter has upgraded their own software, their own acoustic engineering, but with the help of artificial intelligence now, that can help you make the determination whether or not it's gunfire or not before you even have to send somebody out there. Because as great as it would be to not have to send an officer and waste resources when it turns out that it's not gunfire, I think it's just as important to know that it definitely is gunfire if you're sending an officer into that situation. But anyway, bigger story here, the larger point here is this is why we have these conversations on Mondays, especially during budget season, so that you can understand why it shakes out the way it does. And then it'll get really interesting when the cuts happen and Council President Burgo comes in and explains the reasoning behind the cuts. 508-996-0500. I've got to take my first break of the morning. We will be back in a few moments. All right, now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
RFK Jr. making cuts at the CDC. Teens up late may act more impulsively, and record spending predicted for Father's Day.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. removing all 17 members of a panel that advises the CDC on vaccines.
In an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal Monday, Kennedy wrote, "A clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science." Kennedy was a vaccine skeptic prior to becoming the Health and Human Services Secretary. He since softened his stance, saying if a parent desires their child to be vaccinated, their decision should be based on informed consent through a doctor. I'm Brian Shook.
More children are dying as some states have allowed looser firearms laws. According to a new study published in JAMA Pediatrics, researchers estimate more than 6,000 deaths happened in states with the most permissive gun laws, while another 1,400 occurred in states that made up their laws more permissive but were not in the most extreme group. The study also found California, New York, Maryland, and Rhode Island, all of which had strict laws, saw significant drops in pediatric gun deaths. A teen fired a gun found in a Georgia Wendy's that was accidentally left by a visiting Texas sheriff.
An unsecured gun left behind by Grayson County, Texas Sheriff Tony Benny in a Wendy's bathroom in Covington, Georgia, was found and accidentally discharged by a 15-year-old. The sheriff had removed his holstered firearm while in the restroom with his grandson and forgot to retrieve it before leaving. Newton County's DA office decided that no criminal intent or criminal negligence took place. Neither Benny nor the unrelated 15-year-old will face any charges. I'm Thomas Cage.
Researchers out of UCLA have invented a pen that can detect Parkinson's disease with high accuracy. Pilot study in the journal Nature Chemical Engineering unveiled the device that looks close to normal pen. The pen is able to pick up on small dysfunctions by observing how people write before it can be noticed visually. Researchers say it's 96% accurate and available at a low cost. Funk rock pioneer Sly Stone has died at the age of 82. His family says Stone passed away peacefully, surrounded by his children after a long battle with COPD. Stone fronted the group Sly and the Family Stone, who had hits like Family Affair and Everyday People. The statement said while they mourn his absence, they take solace knowing his musical legacy will continue to inspire generations to come. A new study suggests teen night owls may be more impulsively self-destructive. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Researchers used data from 210 teenagers who completed questionnaires to measure their impulsivity and sleep patterns. The teens also provided saliva samples and wore a sleep tracking device. The study found that teens who liked to stay up late were more likely to act impulsively when experiencing negative emotions. Researchers say parents may be able to help their teens by encouraging normal sleep hours. I'm Mark Mayfield.
People are expected to spend $24 billion this year for Father's Day. That would be a record amount, according to the National Retail Federation, up more than 7% from last year. Three out of every four people surveyed said they plan to celebrate the event in some way this year. It's on June 15th, Sunday. Average spending just under $200.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Rays at Fenway last night in 11 innings, 10-8. Both teams back at it tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Patchy fog around, temperatures in the mid and upper 50s, not too far from average, but we're below average this afternoon, with temperatures largely around 70 degrees, if not a little bit cooler, in the mid 60s for the coast. Now, the bigger issue is that as we head through the late morning and early afternoon, not only will we see a couple of showers, but some areas of heavy rain and even a thunderstorm or two. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBS.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
What you're doing, I see it all too clear. I only taste the saline when I kiss away your tears. You really had me going, wishing on a star. The black holes that surround you are heavier by far. I believed in your confusion, so completely torn. It must have been that yesterday was the day that I was born. Not much to examine, nothing left to hide. You really can't be serious, you have to ask me why. I say goodbye.
And welcome back in. A little Duncan Sheik there for you. And 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And maybe a little bit later in the musical timeline than Duncan Sheik, but only by a few years, was James Blunt when he came out with his Back to Bedlam debut album and his smash hit single, You're Beautiful. You probably saw it in a million viral videos over the years. It kind of became something of a audio meme. And he's going to be performing next week at the MGM Music Hall at Fenway. And we've got your chance to win tickets. If you go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app, you can enter to win tickets to see James Blunt next week. And that's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where they have their big birthday party, anniversary party tasting coming up on Friday from 4 to 6. And I'll be over there for that, and hopefully you'll be there too. We'll find out more about that coming up later on this week. Also, don't forget, too, that later on in the 7 o'clock hour, actually just after the 7:30 news, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. It's our new daily look at pop culture as it relates to Generation X, my generation. People try to put us down, but no, that is my generation. And so just a little fun thing that, you know, maybe just put in your back pocket for conversation later, or maybe something that leads us into more discussion here on the air. And it's brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. And you can read my story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about their back porch sampler, which is basically like an ice cream flight. And flights have become like the new popular thing, whether it be drink flights, whether it be different food flights. People are loving the flight concept, the idea of, you don't just have to commit to one thing. You can sample different things. And if you think about it, you know, don't you love to go to a tasting? Don't you love to go to like Chowder Fest and try multiple different types of chowder? Don't you like to go to a wine tasting and try multiple different types of wine and then decide what you like the best? And that's what these flights allow people to do, is you can sample multiple things and then decide if there's one that you like. And, you know, I've done whiskey flights. I've done different whiskey flights. I've done other whiskey flights. but usually if I go somewhere and there's a flight of something, I'll try it because it's fun and it makes the visit more interesting. And there's many, many times that I've gone out for ice cream and I've said, all right, well, what do I want? Well, do I want this or do I want that? And you think to yourself, well, I know if I asked for them to combine the two, they would, but I don't know that those two things go together necessarily. You know, if you want orange sherbet, but then you also want chocolate ice cream, you're not going to have them put a scoop of each on top of a cone. First of all, sherbet doesn't work on a cone, but, you know, it's not going to work together. But when you get it in the back porch sampler, it works perfectly fine together. But the real reason that we wanted to feature the back porch sampler is because starting this Thursday, we're going to be giving one away every week. So on Thursdays, we're going to have the McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream Brain Freeze Question of the Week, a pop culture-related trivia question, and the winner will get a back porch sampler. You'll get to go in and try six scoops of ice cream, whether it be six of the same, six different scoops. I would recommend getting six different scoops because why not try out all the great flavors they make there? They always have their core flavors each week, but they have different flavors that they rotate in depending on what Matt makes that week. So, for example, we talked yesterday about the ginger. Already gone. Already sold out. That's how popular it was. And I'm just going to say this, Matt and Sharon, if you're listening. We're going to make ginger one of your permanent flavors. Because this audience I know loves ginger ice cream based on past conversations that we've had. So we'll have your Gen X files coming up after the 7:30 news. Just a little fun segment that I think gives us something different to talk about each day. Or as I said, you know, some days we might just give it to you and then you can use it in conversations later on. Hey, you know whose celebrity birthday it is today? Like I found it very interesting. I was having a conversation with Jason here at the station yesterday because based on the research I was doing to put together yesterday's Gen X files, you know, I'm going through all these different things that have happened in history. And I said to him, I was like, did you know that Abraham Lincoln wasn't the only person that died at Ford's Theater? And I didn't know this. Maybe I should have known it. Or maybe when I went there, it was something that I learned about and just forgot about it. But in 1893, the theater, this is after the assassination of President Kennedy, President Lincoln, chalk that up to the, you know, that Lincoln-Kennedy conspiracy thing. But after the assassination of President Lincoln, I'm going to say it again, the building was used as a warehouse and a government office building. And in 1893, part of the interior flooring collapsed and 22 people died. So not long after that, about 35 years later, 1932, they instead turned it into a museum, and then it reopened as a theater in 1968. And if you've ever had the chance to see a show at Ford's Theater, you know that they have the booth where President Lincoln was sitting when he was assassinated. That stays empty with a spotlight on it. And it's pretty powerful to be there to see a show. I mean, I saw a comedy there. I saw Nonsense 2. And even though you're having a great time laughing at the show, there's still, you know, that somber feeling of what happened in that room, in that theater. But I didn't even think about this 22 other people who were killed. But see, little things like that, little trivia that you learn when you're doing this kind of research and then leads to a conversation in the office. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Hold on. Let me skip that. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones here. Let me make sure I turn that up. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. So great introduction to this segment because that brings up something I want to say on a very lighter side today.
Sure.
Maybe you could ask Chris because I know he's chummy and speaks with the mayor all the time. How about getting Warren DeMartini and Stephen Piercy to come and play a rat concert in New Bedford to help get rid of the rat situation?
You know, I think Stephen Piercy came to New Bedford before. Didn't he play at the Vault?
Yes, and matter of fact, when I was in my 20s and living in Florida, my band opened up for another one of his bands called Arcade with the drummer from Cinderella at the time. And nice guy, very nice guy. I think he'd be honored to play a nice concert to get rid of the rat population.
But do you think they would get rid of the rats, or do you think all the rats would want to come to the Vault to see them play?
Both.
Once they all come, then you can kind of catch them all while they're there.
Yeah. But on the second question, because of your experience in the restaurant business, there's a restaurant that reimagined itself and reopened in Dartmouth that my family just recently attended, and we're a little disturbed. We don't like the nickel and diming effect, and at the end of the bill, they put an operational charge to add for the use of the electricity, air conditioning, you know, and stuff like that as a separate charge to every check, you know, of bill. We kind of found that a little different, you know.
Yeah, that is a little different. I've seen restaurants put administrative fees, which they use to pay the employees, to give the employees benefits, things like that. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody put an operational fee of the utilities.
Yeah, it just kind of put us off. We just wanted to get your take on it, too, because of, you know, your experience in the restaurant business.
I mean, that just seems like one of those things that should be baked into the price. I don't think you need to advertise that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's how we thought, too. It's kind of like a nickel and diming thing that kind of upsets us, you know. The service and the food was good, but that kind of puts a frown after a good experience.
Well,
you know?
Let me ask you this. So whatever that charge was, if it didn't say it on the bill and it had just been worked into the prices, would you have cared if you were paying, you know, a dollar more per item if it covered that charge?
Would have been fine. I mean, because their prices were fair, you know. Their prices were bad, a little bit on the cheaper side. So, you know, they must have just broken it down a little bit better, you know, a little bit like that. But it's just the idea that I'm just, you know, doing that, it's like $2 to come to my house and see me, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I
lights
get it.
On and stuff like that. You know? But hopefully we can get the rat up here. That'd be great because I'd love to see them.
I'm losing you a little bit there, but I'll talk to Roger over at Purchase Street Records. I'm pretty sure he knows Stephen Piercy, and he can make it happen. I do got to take one more break here before the end of the hour, but I think that's a very interesting topic. Let's get into that. Maybe at the start of the next hour, we can talk a little bit more about the idea of these charges that restaurants are adding on. They're putting those on there to be able to keep the prices down. And how do you feel about that? So we can talk about that coming up, but right now I've got to get this break in. We'll be right back. And you can just go ahead now. You can go ahead and get ready for the news because that's coming up. And on the other side, we can have that conversation about some of these charges that restaurants are adding on. Would you rather see them add?